A new push to stop dangerous street racing in North Carolina. How both drivers and the people watching could soon face criminal charges if they get caught. Then parents in Wake County expect to see changes the next time you go to visit your child in school. We went through the new visitor policy ourselves to show you how it works.
Everything is adding up to potentially dangerous weekend heat levels when it could feel like 110 degrees and the timing of potential storms.
An effort to crack down on street racing and other street takeovers in our state is making progress. The new bill advanced in the North Carolina General Assembly today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. It would make driving in these so-called street takeovers an A1 misdemeanor. That's the most serious in North Carolina and punishable by a mandatory $1,000 fine. Promoting a street takeover could also get you charged.
WRAL's Aaron Thomas joins us now live and breaks down the proposed punishments. Aaron?
Yeah, Ashley, I've been speaking with a number of drivers and neighbors who say that they've witnessed their fair share of these dangerous street racing incidents, and they say these punishments are actually called for. Right now, tonight, I'm here at the intersection of Atlantic Avenue and Six Forks Road. There was actually a street racing incident that turned deadly here just a few months ago back in March. We actually have video from that particular incident. It was actually on a Tuesday morning, March 7th, and we learned that it was a 33-year-old man who died after losing control of his car. And it was a mother and her 5-year-old daughter who fortunately survived their injuries after they were struck by a car. Here's where Senate Bill 91 comes into play to prevent these tragedies. The first offense would mean an A1 misdemeanor and a $1,000 fine. The second offense becomes a felony, and the fine becomes double the amount of the vehicle used in the street racing incident. This evening, I spoke with Bill Powell, who moved out of Durham, and now he lives in Tennessee because street racing near his home became too dangerous and unbearable.
It's a step in the right direction. The problem is enforcing it. As we talked about, it's a matter of having the police budget, the manpower, all of that to actually enforce this.
Now, within the past 20 minutes, we actually learned of an amendment to Senate Bill 91. Previously, it would criminalize people simply just watching street racing with a misdemeanor, but it was a state representative who actually raised concerns about that. So that part has been removed. I'm actually working on trying to speak with her for Hour Late News beginning at 10 on Fox 50. Ashley.
Okay. All right. Aaron Thomas reporting live in Raleigh. Thank you.
It is about to get really hot out, really hot, like dangerously hot. It's going to be over our holiday weekend for the July 4th holiday. Before that, though, we're actually tracking a level one risk for storms, and that's for most of the triangle. Meteorologist Mike Mays joining us now in the Severe Weather Center, timing out both of these threats for us, Mike.
Dan, we got some busy weather coming up. First, that level one severe threat, that's for Friday for part of the viewing area, roughly from western Wake County and points westward. That's that dark shaded green area for damaging winds and heavy rain. Light shaded green area is our general thunderstorm category. You could see some storms, more likely to be severe off to the west the way it stands right now. Watch for this to potentially change. Also, we have a big heat ridge building into the eastern part of the country over the weekend. It's been cooking the plains lately. It's going to cook us for a few days. Starting on Saturday, 92, but feeling like 101. 96 the forecast high on Sunday. Now, our triangle heat index, 106, but there could be some locations south of us that could get up as high as 110. Would not be surprised if Sunday and Monday we had a heat advisory issued. 105 is what it should feel like on Monday, 103 on Tuesday. The bottom line is dangerous heat. Just think about what you're going to be doing over the weekend. And if it's anything outdoors, you got to take precautions because of the heat. Also, we have weekend storm chances, Dan. We'll outline those coming up as well.
All right. Talk to you again soon. Thanks, Mike.
Taking a live look now at RDU, travel troubles already spreading to our area days from the holiday weekend. Today, 64 flights were delayed at the airport and 28 were canceled. The situation seems to be improving after thousands of travelers were hit with changes, but not before 18 hours of delays for a North Carolina native trying to get home, eventually landing a flight all by himself. Phil Stringer documented his journey. It has since gone viral. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan caught up with him at RDU today and also has some tips for anybody flying this summer.
It's hustle and bustle at RDU as passengers rush to the gates, navigating days of delays. But imagine if you got to the gate and you were the only one there. A pipe dream, right?
We'll be leaving in 10 minutes. They pulled them from the hotel to come do this flight for just one person.
An empty plane from Oklahoma City to Charlotte, all for Phil Stringer, who documented this airport anomaly on social media.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Phil was like tens of millions of Americans sitting and waiting for the past few days. Agony in the airport caused by storms, staffing shortages, wildfire smoke, and more.
My flight was supposed to leave at 6:20 in the morning on Sunday morning, and it kept getting delayed. So it got delayed like seven different times, and it was a total of 18 hours worth of delays. And then at 11:30 p.m., someone comes up to me. There's no one around, and she's like, "Are you on the Charlotte flight?" And I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "You might want to go to your gate because the plane finally got here."
He decided to suffer through those delays, and we happened upon the unique jet setter today at RDU, working to bypass more wait time.
We just drove here to Raleigh to catch a flight because I wanted to avoid the Charlotte airport.
RDU had a handful of delays Wednesday, far less than earlier in the week. But with July 4th around the corner,
it looks like people are getting out for the most part and getting to where they're trying to go.
Experts warn to be proactive, not reactive.
The key is to get ahead of it. So when you're noticing a problem, you're noticing a delay, look online and see what other flights there might be later on that you might be able to switch to.
And allow yourself ample time, even if it just means more people watching.
To arrive early, 2 hours early for a domestic flight, 3 hours early for an international flight.
And keep your belongings with you.
Try and carry on if you can.
And here's another tip. You can go ahead and pay for parking and book it online. And when you get here, your slot will be available. You can also invest in Clear or TSA PreCheck, or also get your boarding passes on your phone. That will help expedite the process. At RDU, Chelsea Donovan, WRAL News.
And we are continuing to track the number of flight delays and cancellations across the East Coast. Still much better than we were the past couple of days, but there are problems. You can see the red indicating those delays and cancellations up in the New York and D.C., Boston areas, still seeing those slowdowns. This is what it looks like when you look at FlightAware, the total number of cancellations today holding a 1,000 across the country. Draw your attention right here. United's really the struggle point. You can see the number of cancellations over 500. American and Delta faring much better than that. Locally here at RDU, the number of delays is at 74. The number of cancellations right now, 32. So we'll see how this goes over the next couple of days into the 4th of July weekend. It is expected to be very busy for the rest of the week and then, of course, early next week. Back to you.
All right, Mark. A lot going on in the world of air travel today, especially at Charlotte Airport. A Delta pilot and flight crew are being praised for a job well done, safely landing a plane without its landing gear. This all had to do with a mechanical issue. Flight 1092 took off from Atlanta just before 7:30 this morning. According to a statement from Delta, as the plane approached the Charlotte airport, cabin crew received an indication that the nose gear on the plane was unsafe. The pilot then flew over the air traffic control, where staff noted that the nose gear was not coming down. In the end, the pilot landed the plane and got all 104 people on board safely off.
Unbelievable story. Let's take a look at this federal courthouse, the courtroom in Greensboro. A big case there, of course. New restrictions on abortions in North Carolina could be put on hold just hours before they're set to go into effect on Saturday. A federal judge appears ready at this point to temporarily block parts of the law that ban most abortions after 12 weeks. Attorneys for Planned Parenthood and a Duke health doctor are asking a judge to temporarily stop new abortion restrictions from becoming law. But the judge made it clear she does not plan to block the entire abortion law.
We wouldn't necessarily expect a ruling from the bench. And certainly, I think that we saw that Judge Eagles was very pragmatic in her approach, and she's going to be very meticulous in her order.
Governor Cooper vetoed the abortion restrictions, but Republican lawmakers overrode that veto in May. We will, of course, bring you updates as soon as we get them.
New search warrants show evidence collected at a ShotSpotter alert connected a suspect to a shooting days later. You know, in the 6 months since the Durham Police Department started using the technology, officers have responded to 16 gunshot wounds, recovered 16 guns, and made 12 arrests. WRAL's Monica Casey shows us the impact of the gunfire detection technology.
Durham police responded to a ShotSpotter alert for 11 rounds fired on Fayetteville Street just after 7 p.m. on May 6th. Officers found a damaged vehicle driving away. Police stopped that car and found a gunshot wound victim in the back seat. That man had non-life-threatening injuries. He told police a group of people near the bus stop had shot at them. Days later, police arrested Elijah Bishop in a drug deal. When his handgun was seized, they matched a shell casing from it to the earlier shooting. Since the technology launched last December, 896 casings have been collected at shooting scenes. The ShotSpotter dashboard says the ratio of alerts where police collected evidence is about 19%. Mayor Pro Tem Mark Anthony Middleton says the technology is doing what it's supposed to.
The more quickly we can collect those evidence, and connect crime scenes, put this in a better position to take people who are potentially multiple shooters or repeat shooters off the street.
About 72% of ShotSpotter alerts do not have a 911 call associated with them. More than 27% of alerts do. Middleton tells me that's another reason the gunfire detection technology is needed.
When no one calls 911, but gunfire still goes off, why would we not want to be able to respond to something as dramatic as gunfire? We're not talking about people wearing hoodies in Starbucks or playing their music loud. We're talking about gunfire.
Bishop faces charges of felony assault with a deadly weapon, inflicting serious injury, and discharging a firearm within the city. His case was continued here in Durham County Court today. Monica Casey, WRAL News in Durham.
And the city of Durham is halfway through its 12-month pilot of the ShotSpotter technology. We do have a link to view the dashboard created by DPD on our website.
Still ahead here at 7 o'clock, we're taking a closer look at the changes you'll see the next time you stop by your child's school in an effort to keep students safer. Plus, a bill criminalizing some drag shows in our state advanced today. A look at the changes being considered and what's next.
Right now, the WRAL Live Center, we have a live picture in downtown Raleigh to show you a very large police presence. You see a lot of yellow police tape down there. This is at the intersection of Person and Davy Street, about a block away from Moore Square. I'll give you an idea on the map here. That is the intersection that is blocked off by police. I just spoke with police. They have not confirmed if this is a shooting or what exactly they are investigating. They said give them about 10 to 15 minutes and they'll be able to give us an idea of exactly what's going on. Certainly a busy area. This is right in the middle of downtown, and that intersection is blocked off. So if you live in that area or work in that area this evening, you're likely to see police out there for quite some time as they piece together exactly what's going on. We have a crew there and gathering more details. As soon as we have that, we'll bring it to you here in the Live Center. Back to you.
Okay, Mark, thank you. Tonight, we're getting an up-close look at Wake County School's new visitor management system. School leaders say this new system will keep students safe and better streamline the check-in process. WRAL's Destiny Patterson walks us through how it works.
If you plan on visiting a Wake County school, then you'll need to enter some of your personal information and go through a quick background check. It's a system that district leaders tell me has been on their wish list for years.
These signs and sounds will become routine at Wake County Public Schools.
The first prompt will ask for my phone number.
This iPad is now another tool of security for the district.
Preventing somebody who's potentially up to do no good at our school.
After putting in your phone number.
Hit next.
Registering your license.
Here.
Then taking a photo. In a matter of seconds, the system checks for recent custody orders, protection orders, and sex offender registries.
It'll automatically send communications to the SRO, to security personnel, school administrators.
This new technology is welcomed by the parents I spoke with.
To keep our kids protected and everything, so that's very useful for the families.
I think it's a good thing, you know, more security. Nobody can just walk in the building whenever they get, you know, feel like it.
A 2019 audit found Wake County needed to do a better job of vetting who's coming on their campuses. The launch of this system comes at a time when several school districts have faced social media threats in the Triangle and surrounding areas. It's brought campus safety and security at the forefront of county budgets and school board meetings.
There's a lot of visitor management systems that are out there. And what we're trying to accomplish here is consistency across the district.
This new system will be implemented district-wide starting next school year, starting with their year-round schools next week. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News, Wake County.
And just one quick addition to that story. If the system's hardware isn't working, administrative employees would manually check in visitors on their own computers.
Today, a bill cracking down on drag shows started moving through the North Carolina General Assembly. This bill, criminalizing some drag shows, did just clear a House committee. Several lawmakers questioned whether the bill would forbid Broadway shows, though, for instance, that include nudity from being performed at publicly owned theaters like DPAC. The bill adds clear restrictions against adult entertainment on public property and explicitly forbids adult entertainment in front of anyone under the age of 18. It may soon be on the House floor for a key vote.
Summer and weekends on the water. Doesn't get better than that, right? Here's a beautiful, serene look over at Lake Gaston. A couple people in the boat there. I mean, what a way to spend a Wednesday night. Police are reminding people of the dangers of drinking and boating this summer. Operation Drywater kicks off July 1st. The national campaign reminds those at the helm to stay vigilant and sober to reduce crashes and fatalities during the busy holiday weekend. Oh, that image was just so nice, Mike. You know, you deserve, after the week that you have had, the busy week you have had, you deserve to be, you know, having whatever kind of beverage you want on a boat overlooking the sunset.
And if you're trying to find a place to cool off, Lake Gaston would be a great place. White Lake in Bladen County, anywhere that there's some water, a lot of folks will probably be attracted to because of the way the heat's going to be. Now, I wanted to start off with the air quality because it didn't pan out as the forecast suggested. We were expecting code orange, only code yellow today. That's certainly good news, but the folks to the north are still suffering. Code red, a large expanse over the Ohio Valley. Even in Roanoke, not too far away, they got to code red and code orange. Tomorrow and also for the day on Friday looks pretty good as well. Right now, our air quality index is code yellow, 72. It was forecast to be 110, code orange. We just didn't see that smoke manage to make its way in. And tomorrow and Friday, no issue. It's moderate. We tend to be moderate air quality through the summer months due to the heat. 89 was the high at RDU, 91 in Fayetteville. We're sitting at 84 in Raleigh, 88 in Fayetteville. Dew points, as I said yesterday, would be a little bit lower, so it didn't feel quite as humid. They won't be that high tomorrow either. They'll be in the same territory, so may not feel quite so bad. Now, the big issue coming up this holiday weekend is the heat. We talked about that at the top of the newscast. This is what folks are experiencing off to the west. This is into Friday, so there will be excessive heat warnings in this region through Friday. Heat advisories as well, and tomorrow we may see new advisories issued for Georgia and parts of Tennessee, maybe in western North Carolina. I think we'll see at least a heat advisory issue here at some point over the weekend with our heat index value surpassing 105. And this is what it feels like off to the west. All those gray areas are heat index values above 100 degrees, 111, 112. New Orleans is 112 right now with a heat index, 111 in Houston, 111 in Dallas, 108 in Oklahoma City. So some rough heat, dangerous heat, life-threatening heat on the way for the weekend. So why is this happening? We have this big ridge of high pressure that's over the southern plains. It's going to migrate off toward the east. And riding over the ridges, we tend to see thunderstorms develop. And they're going to ride the upper-level flow and move into the area as we get through the rest of the weekend into the weekend. And so we're going to have to watch to see if some of these become severe. This is where our level one threat for severe weather comes in on Friday. And then for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, we have about a 30% chance for showers and storms. And with such strong heating, that's extra energy that goes into these storms that have the potential for them to become severe, maybe downburst winds out of this. So not only we're dealing with the big heat, we're dealing with thunderstorms that have the potential to be strong, too severe through the weekend, even our holiday on Tuesday. So it would be a great idea to be weather aware through the weekend because of the heat and storm potential as well. Pleasant night, 66. Yeah, it's not that cool, but when you see the 7-day forecast, our morning lows will be much warmer in the days ahead. And tomorrow we're going to try to get into the low 90s. We didn't hit 91 today at the airport, only 89. We'll focus on 93 for the high tomorrow. Heat index negligible because the dew point's still low. 91 WREL weather alert day on Friday. Look at the morning lows in the mid 70s for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning. That's an indication that it will be very hot during the day and it's hard to cool down at night. 96 Sunday, 95 Monday, 94 Tuesday. Good news, Ashley, these bigger heat highs won't last all that long. There are signs of some cooling taking place by next Thursday and Friday.
I know a lot of people will be happy about that. Thanks, Mike.
Look, if you don't want to go that far for your summer vacation, consider a road trip. What makes North Carolina one of the best states for one? Coming up. That time of year, people are doing their little summer vacations, getting away, taking some time out of the house. But look, if you just want a road trip, you're one of the best in the country, you don't have to go far. You already live in North Carolina.
Yes, North Carolina ranked third in the nation for best states for a summer road trip. A new list compiled by Wallet Hub has North Carolina sitting behind Texas and New York. Think about that how you will. The categories include cost, safety, and overall activities. It also factored in gas prices, cost of camping, car thefts, and national parklands.
Maybe because Texas has a lot of options, but man, have you ever driven through Texas?
I've never.
Oh, it's boring. Mm. Ooh, it's just a lot of the same.
Oh, hot takes from Dan Haggerty.
Texas people know this, all right? I used to live there.
The North Carolina Chinese Lantern Festival is coming back to Cary, and this year's run will be even longer than before.
This is amazing. I know you haven't been there yet. You have to check this out. The Chinese artists, they're already kind of busy right now crafting more than 40 all-new displays, each one of them comprised of hundreds of parts and thousands of LED lights. It'll be at Cocobooth Amphitheater again this year, starting at on November 17th. Tickets are $25 for ages 13 and up, $15 for the younger kids. Tickets go on sale this Saturday, and sometimes they go pretty quickly. So
I'll be getting mine. Yeah,
it is really, really fun, and it's absolutely gorgeous when the sun sets and everything lights up. Mm-hmm. It's a great time.
Hey, tomorrow the skate park off Capitol Boulevard will open in Raleigh.
Crews will have been working on the Conlon Family Skate Park for a while. Now it has the rails and the ramps, everything skaters need, the ribbon cutting, and the grand opening is set for tomorrow at 10 a.m. Enjoy. It is going to be hot out there, right? The North Carolina Zoo needs your animal naming skills again.
Oh, you're going to be voting and voting and voting because we're talking about Dan's favorite animal, sand cat kittens.
I love them.
There is a poll going right now where you can vote on the three kittens' names. There are two females and one male. The poll closes next Wednesday. The zoo will announce the names next Friday. So, Dan, you can find a link on our website to vote.
They're three little buddies. Check them out. They're just hanging out. I can just, you know, and they get cuter as they get older. Google them. Pull out your phone. Google sand cats. I didn't even really know they were a thing until we started running these stories. So I'm going to start voting. Hopefully you do, too. Thanks for being with us.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.